Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to the program. I would like to encourage you today not to sin so as to lose your place of salvation. Oh, somebody says, there's no way you could lose that anyway. I beg to differ, my friend. Not only did some people lose their salvation, as recorded in the Bible, but such can happen to you. Oh, someone says, you don't understand. It is impossible for the child of God to sin. I disagree with that as well. Not only is it possible for the child of God to sin, but we must be ever vigilant. I would like for us to look at a few scriptures this afternoon, and once again, I want to encourage you, do not make a practice of sin. Now, I don't live in a make-believe world. I know that you sin, and you know that I sin. I cannot tell you, as Tim McHenry, that even though I have been converted to Jesus Christ, that I do not commit any sin. Anybody that says that to you is just plainly and simply a liar. Now, you cannot say as a child of God that you've got to the point where you do not commit sin. Therefore, we need the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this, friend. If you have been cleansed by the blood of Christ from all of your sins, does that mean that the blood of Christ stops cleansing you from your sins since they're all gone now? Or does the blood of Christ continue to cleanse? Oh, you say, well, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse me. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you that if you do not have the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ, then you will be immediately overcome in the sins that so easily beset us, and you will be cast down into a devil's hell. You need the continual work of salvation of Jesus Christ superintending and over your life because you have not reached any kind of stage of perfection. You will never reach that stage here upon this earth, and people should get off of their high horse in thinking that just because I've had it, I'm always going to have it. You could so sin as to be lost. And if it were not for the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ, you would be lost even now. Oh, you say, but that continual cleansing will always be with me. Really? Really? So sure of that, are you? Why should you feel sure of that? Is it impossible for you to do something that would damn your soul? Could you not go out here and do something that, if unrepented of, would absolutely destroy your soul? Oh, somebody says if you do that, you never were converted to start with. Really? Where does it say that in the Bible? How do you know that to be true? Let's give a closer examination of some passages here in the book of 1 John, shall we? These things I write unto you, that your joy may be full, John says. And for us to have a full joy in Jesus Christ and to have fellowship with Him, we need to make sure that we stay away from sin. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, he says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. This cleanses is in the present tense. John is talking to children of God. And in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, he says in verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ cleanses me. I am so thankful for that. Not that God has forgiven me of the past sins that I committed before I became a Christian. I am thankful for that. But also that God continues to be with me and to be patient with me, Tim McHenry, someone who has committed sin. Now, that doesn't mean that I want to go out here and just keep on committing the same sin all the time. I do not want to make an habitual practice of sin, something I'll have more to say about in a moment. But as I struggle through this life, the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, keeps on cleansing me. That's how I can live that joyful life. That's how I can rejoice in Jesus Christ. I would that so many more people understood that. How is it you can have a fellow? And he thinks, oh, well, I was converted to the Lord. I had an experience with God way back somewhere. And yet they turn right around and make this continual practice of sin in their lives. And they either deny the sin or they deny that they ever were converted. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that there is something that keeps us from the practice, the continual habitual practice of sin, and that is to have the Word of God abide within us. But apart from that instruction of God, you are going to lapse back into sin. And sometimes through ignorance, through neglect of something that is righteous, through the lack of knowledge, you know, sins of omission, sins of commission, we will have a problem of sin. But the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ comes upon God's children because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen to it, the word of the Lord. If we say we have no sin, Notice what he says there. It's a present tense. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Are you going to say, my friend, that you have not committed a single act of sin as a Christian? Just because you've been converted doesn't mean that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once I've got it, I cannot fall from grace. That's not what John is trying to say. And in fact, he warns us that we must continue to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will do this for you, my friend. But as a Christian, you must continue with a life of confession. You must continue with a life of penitence. Only then will the Lord continually cleanse you of your sins. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, you see, John is talking to Christians here. These things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, there is a big difference that, once again, I point out to you between particular acts of sin that somebody commits through the weakness that one has as a Christian and becoming an habitual sinner, someone who makes a practice of sin that works sin in their life to the extent that they no longer are the child of God. This is an awful thing. When somebody goes into that kind of lifestyle, then it gets to where sometimes it's just impossible to say or do anything to them that might bring them back to righteousness. Hebrews chapter 6. Just read Hebrews 6 and it'll be made clear to you. In fact, there were some that were in danger over, for example, in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says. How shall we that have died to sin live any longer therein? You cannot live or abide in the sin and say that I am a Christian. It doesn't reflect upon whether or not you ever were converted, but you cannot remain a Christian and have this continual practice of sin. Here's what the verse says. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what if somebody rejects the word of God, and that seed, that word, no longer guides his life? What if someone rejects the Christianity that once they embraced? Where is the restraining influence then that will keep sin out of their lives? Does this passage mean that it is impossible for a child of God under any circumstances to commit a single act of sin? Obviously not. Let me give you an example that may help you with this. Suppose you're tempted to steal, but you remember that the Word of God says, "Thou shalt not steal." So long as this injunction, this Word of God, remains in your heart and governs your life, you cannot steal. What if you take away that guidance, though? What if you take away that Word? Then you've got a problem, don't you? Why can't the phrase or the idea of one begotten of God, why can you not persist in sin if you're begotten of God? Why can't you make a life of sin? Because the seed, the Word of God that's in you forbids it. It's in you. It controls your life. It directs your energies. A life of sin is inconsistent with the spiritual parentage of one who is thus begotten. But does this mean that it's never possible for one possessed of this nature to sin, to commit acts of sin? No, not at all. All of us, through weakness, error, ignorance, or inadvertence, occasionally sin. But children of God do not work sin as a life principle. You're going to have a penitent heart. You're going to get out of that sin. And if you don't, you cannot remain a child of God. The two go hand in hand. Paul and John are in strict harmony in their teaching in the Scripture on the difference between occasional lapses into sin and a life wholly devoted to sin. Once again, Paul wrote, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Are you ignorant of all that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? We are buried with him, therefore, through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might walk in newness of life." A careful consideration of this passage reveals to us that we no longer continue to sin. For first of all, we've died, separated ourselves from the practice of sin. Secondly, we've risen from the baptismal grave to walk in a new life. And thirdly, the body of sin has been done away. We have been delivered from the bondage of sin. So never go back into that kind of life or lifestyle again. 1 John 3 and verse 9 is not trying to tell you that you're like a robot and you cannot commit an act of sin once you become a Christian, or that you cannot so sin as to be eternally lost. What it's telling you is, so long as you've got the Word of God in you, so long as you are truly a child of God, then you simply won't make a practice of the sin. But let each one examine themselves and see whether or not they're in the faith. And then take heart that the Lord will not leave you or forsake you, and He'll help you to live the Christian life if you'll just let Him. Wanted to give you this warning today and wanted to give you some encouragement to stay faithful unto God, and thank you for listening this afternoon.